Yes, this is working. It's very much working. Help, I'm making noise. Dear audio person, you may turn it down a little bit if you don't mind. I mean, I like my own voice, but this is a bit much on a Sunday morning. So a very good welcome, good morning, welcome, and hello to those people who made it out here for the Open Data Knesset track, or out of sympathy for yours truly standing on a stage in the big hall here. First of all, I love this stage. I love the fact that we have a disco ball in here, so very definitely, first of all, a big thank you to the organizers of the conference. I really can't emphasize enough how vitally important this type of events are for the community as a whole, sharing ideas and wisdom. Of course, the wisdom increases just as the amount of beer consumed increases. So, this is me. I'm Hans de Raad. I'm a founder and owner of Open Ovations. We're a company based in the Netherlands and Croatia and in the US. And we mainly focus on data management, data processing, data analysis in the pharmaceutical domain. Not just the pharmaceutical domain, but our data management platform, which is in fact open source. We use Postgres, we use PHP, we use React, we have Kafka and all kinds of other nice integrations. But this platform is also used in fintech and energy analysis, so it's a very versatile solution. And as part of this solution, we have a component that imports spreadsheets, because especially in laboratories, usually people love their spreadsheets. They use it for all kinds of inventory management. They use it to keep track of incoming samples and equipment being available. But of course, spreadsheets from a data integrity point of view are the root of all evil. So you want to get rid of them. And we have a spreadsheet importer component which converts an Excel sheet into a PostgreSQL database and data structure. Now, we were re-implementing that component last year, and we needed a way to test it. So what we did was we took roughly 130 open data sets from both the Croatian government as well as Dutch and German governments, and we converted all those data sets into our RNA database. And then we started looking at that data, because if you have 130-ish data sets, there will always be some overlapping data types in there, like address information, street names, reusable data. Now, the main issue that we saw with these data sets is that they're not normalized at all. So street names would be spelled in different ways. We had longitude information from the city of Zagreb plotting bicycle paths in the desert of Yemen. If you would actually see what they were about, and I'm pretty sure Zagreb is not planning a suburb in Yemen yet, so that we had so many flaws with the data that we decided to reach out to the organizations that are publishing the data and try to figure out what they had in mind when they published the data and how they felt that it should be used. And the answer to that was radio silence, mostly. Because a lot of the organizations that actually publish open data sets have very little clue nor ambition with what would happen with that data, if anything at all. They're just publishing the data because they have to. Of course, you have some enthusiasts in there, usually involved in an open data program office, who feel that they're doing an awesome job, which in fact they are, because they're publishing stuff, which allows us to analyze that stuff and see how we can make it better. Now, if you look into examples of open data, the most common ones are mapping, so geospatial, so open street map kind of thing, open grids. This is a fantastic, rich source of data in many cases. In an example in Croatia, 2 years ago, there were a sequence of earthquakes that happened around the city of Zagreb and more inland, and the OpenStreetMap crew was immediately active in mapping out danger zones, mapping out safe zones as well, and immediately acted upon before anything else actually from a formal government response happened. So it's pretty cool. In the medical domain and in the chemical domain, now we have these big pharmaceutical companies who are publishing open data sets about their failed trials, so that they have other companies not repeating their mistakes when they are trying to work with enzymes or genome sequences that they are known to actually not work. This is actually cool because these companies usually compete each other on life and death. In pharma, it's pretty obvious about life and death, but they're also working together. In the cultural domain, of course, we have the Creative Commons and all that, and yeah, essentially open data is everywhere. So, what about open data connected? Now, the whole concept of open data connected, and yes, I've studied the geography, is that we have several different parties that are disconnected from each other, publishing data, trying to analyze data, and trying to use the data. But if they're not connected, see, great success, then basically none of them knows what the other party is doing, and therefore can never improve on what the other party feels should be done towards themselves. So what we want to do with Open Data Connected is we want to have a forum of parties together in engaging with each other in aligning expectations, aligning ontologies, formats, data structures, and you name it. And so the fun fact is that Open Ovations is an SME. We have about 30 people, so what the hell are we doing trying to tackle the quality of open data? Well, you know, everybody's allowed their hobbies, and one of our hobbies is being a good citizen. And we really hope that we can thrive some momentum. And last, actually 2 weeks ago, in Zagreb, we had the Dros Klug conference, of which one of the main culprits is sitting over there. Hello, Svebor. Yes, you. And at Open Data Connectors, we had the Croatian Open Data Program Bureau. We had representatives from the Dutch national government, AI and ML ethics organization doing all kinds of data analysis. We had the Open Data Institute available, and then we had us complaining about the quality of data and hoping that the other parties will finally solve our data problems. Now, the idea is we want to have an iterative and rolling approach into optimizing data. Because what I'm always a bit confused about is we have open source conferences, and open source conferences are usually about, well, surprise, open source software and open standards. Usually it's something along those lines, but it's not that often that you have open data aspects in open source conferences other than people showing OpenStreetMap and how awesome they do stuff with it. But, you know, there is, and on a Sunday this makes a lot of sense, there's some form of a holy trinity between open source, open standards, and open data, because you have open standards which describe what the data looks like that's being published. You have open source software which is used to publish the data. And then finally, you have actually the practical outcome of that, which is the open data. And to me, in many open source conferences, it's more about, hey, look at this awesome thing I built, full stop, and not necessarily about, hey, this is this awesome thing I built with this type of data, and this is what you can do with it, and how we can help. So that's why I'm today here, because I want to invite you into a conversation with us to figure out what we can do with Open Data Connected, how we can expand it, how we can have more parties involved. And as I mentioned, we already have both Croatian and Dutch national government institutions involved in it. We have the Open Data Institute involved. I don't think we're doing that bad. I just want to have more people, especially from the open source community, and especially people from the open source community who are entrepreneurial in what they want to do with their open source software. And just approach me, have a conversation, please. Or if you have a brilliant idea right now, then speak now or forever hold your silence. And you can also talk after it. So what we want to do with Open Data Connected is we will continue organizing a series of follow-up workshops. And with this follow-up workshop, we want to tackle certain aspects of open data quality per item. So open data producers, quality issues, what do you run into? You will run into the fact that you, as a data producer, will have all kinds of legacy systems that have all kinds of issues in exporting data in a certain structure other than the structure that they have internally. So this let long data that I just mentioned about Zagreb bicycle lanes ending up in the Yemen desert, that's not let long information, that's just some system identifier from the system from which the data was exported. But nobody ever bothered to actually look at that data and figure out why you're taking such an enormous detour cycling around Zagreb. So the verification of usefulness of data. Another thing is, how is that data being made available? As I mentioned, we imported about 130 spreadsheets. Well, you know, during Middle Ages, we had the Inquisition, which was just about as fun as importing 130 spreadsheets. So how can we publish data in a way that makes it much more usable? So not 130 separate spreadsheets or separate static JSON files that you then have to parse and normalize and integrate. Now, we have our RNI solution available. And if anybody's interested actually in seeing it, please let me know. We're not allowed, and this is really stupid, by the way, we're not allowed to open it up publicly because of license restrictions on the open data sets that we imported. But if you want to see what we did and how we turned it into a relational database with a nice REST API and GraphQL and other buzzwords, it's awesome. Please let me know. So we want to talk about the initial data quality from the producer side. We want to talk about how it can be made reusable by making it accessible to normal open standards, hashtag not a spreadsheet. And then we want to see how we can also learn from different usage angles, because there are a lot of hackathons going on around open data, but those hackathons usually are like beauty contests in which somebody takes one data set, builds a graph or an app out of it, then usually ends up being hired by the sponsor of the hackathon event, but then nothing ever happens with the app or whatever is done after that. We really want to change that. So on Dorsklug, we actually had a data phone. Whoever came up with that word should be, never mind. But we had an appathon, or a hackathon, or a dataphon, or some phone, and all the apps that were built there were published as open source under the HR Open, which is the Croatian Open Source Program Office. And at least we now have this source code that we can build on and do stuff with. And we're already working on our RNI data management platform and seeing how we can both improve that code as well as include it in our environment. So, but the main thing that we want to stimulate and boost is having that conversation. Because as long as parties that publish data and parties that use data or process data are not talking to each other, the overall ecosystem will never improve. And that's a shame, because there are a lot of other initiatives going on. And for those of you who know me, I'm a very big fan of Europe in general. I think that Europe as a political institute experiment, if you will, is awesome in coming up with standards and best practices. So I don't know if you've ever heard of the Brussels effect, but the Brussels effect stands for, like, the GDPR. You know, Europe adopted the most encompassing and strong privacy framework ever implemented worldwide. And at first, all big tech were complaining that they would never be able to comply with it, and that they would pull back their business from Europe and all that. And nowadays, even Chinese companies are trying to align with the GDPR. So that's the Brussels effect. It means that whenever we come up with something here in the old world, and we specify it properly in an open process, it actually gets picked up by the rest of the world as well. So in Europe, we have the Interoperable Data Act and a program called Interoperable Europe, which is all about coming up with ontologies and taxonomies and standards in data structures and semantic interoperability specifications. We're part of a couple of work groups regarding health data. So what it's about, in example, is we agree on what entities and attributes does a person, how is a person being described? How are diagnostic symptoms being described? How is the relation done between the person, the treatment, the facility in which the treatment happens, etc., etc.? Now, this is not necessarily all open data, because of course medical data you don't want to have out there in the street. But what Europe is actually working on in the Gaia-X program is this concept of data spaces. And data spaces are semi-open and either anonymized or pseudonymized. Yes, I did that. And research organizations and pharmaceutical or medical entities can opt in for such data spaces and be able to use real-world data in trials and analysis, which is awesome, because normally if you have like a randomized clinical trial, an RCT, you have a set of about 100 subjects which you try to not kill during a trial. And then whoever survives, you see how the treatment worked and which was optimal. Now, if you have data that you can reuse in cohorts, that's insanely valuable, because it immensely broadens your ability to verify the validity of certain treatment approaches. So, European interoperability framework is all about semantic interoperability, coming up with ontologies, taxonomies, data structures, entity models, and whatnot. And this is happening right now. And as I mentioned, we're involved. We're an SME again. So you can also be involved if you have an interest in a certain type of data and a certain data set. It's open. It's an open consultation process. Please just invite yourself, because in Europe, there's this concept that if you're not at the table, then you're on the menu. And basically, that just means that you should take time to observe what Europe is doing and invite yourself to the table. So don't do like what Linus Foundation, Eclipse Foundation, and another of other big conservatories did recently, which is complain that the EU didn't invite them. No, it's the other way around. You guys all missed the opportunity to sit at the table and have input in the process. So please just invite yourselves. So the purpose of the Interoperable Europe Act is in Europe until about the financial oopsie in 28, there was mainly the idea that Europe was an economical and market initiative. And since 28, we see a lot more integration. So the single market, which is a cornerstone of European policy, you see that single market concept is not just being spoken about in terms of there should be one single market, and as a Dutch person, I can live in Croatia and the other way around and all that. But it's also about, an example, as a Dutch person, when I have my medical history in the Netherlands and I live in Croatia, whenever I want to have a certain treatment or I need a certain treatment, can my Croatian physician or doctor access my Dutch patient dossier and then not have to use Google Translate to actually convert my Dutch document into semi-Croatian and then misdiagnose me and whatever. There's a lot more content-wise integration going on at the moment. It's really about not just being able to move around, but also when you move around within Europe, you have the same baseline facilities everywhere in terms of also educational data. There are many more collaborations nowadays between European universities in the Horizon program than there have ever been. But then if you collaborate, you also need to agree on how you connect the data from each other. So that's what the Interoperable Europe Act is about. And there are many examples in which interoperable Europe is showing its results. I mean, obviously, I had to start with a blockchain service because otherwise your bullshit bingo cards would never be full today. So we have blockchain. We have the data portal, which is the shared data spaces that I just spoke about. We have interoperability reference architecture, helping member states learn from each other in how to set up their communication and data exchange infrastructure. There's the interoperability framework, but it goes also further in terms of harmonizing procurement processes, which is another thing. I mean, if you have ever been through a European tender process, then first of all, I'm very sorry for you. And second of all, you will know that it's different in every member state. Now, they're also harmonizing that. So Europe is doing a lot. Take a look at it, and it's all open information. The other organization that I want to point out here is the Open Data Institute, which was founded by Sir Tim Berners-Lee. You may know him, or may know of him. And it's a non-profit in the UK that is all about helping organizations that do stuff with open data, either producing, integrating, processing, and analyzing it. And they're helping organizations making sure that they form data sets in a proper way, but it's also legally solid into which data can and which data can you not immediately open up. So anything that's like in the judicial process or in the health process or financial process, sure, you can open up all kinds of derived or anonymized data sets. But yeah, just be a bit careful. They support organizations both on a procedural as well as organizational and technical level in publishing data. And they have all kinds of examples of open source prototypes for producing and publishing the data. So how, as open source community, can we actually engage with them? Because as I mentioned before, I want to have interaction, I want to have a conversation, I want to have stuff happening, and not just, hey, we built this awesome platform, and hey, I have now a talk about it, and then, yes. So I want to keep this going. So we can, and this is also what the Open Data Connected Initiative is aiming to achieve. We will have a series of workshops over the next couple of months, years, to how we can actually contribute to development and improvement of those prototypes that the ODI publishes, or help us with the outcome of the data fund in Zagreb and see how the apps that were being produced can be leveraged further. We want to engage with governmental organizations, like I mentioned, the Dutch and Croatian government that we're already on speaking terms with. We want to keep that conversation going and see what their ambitions are, if any, with open data, and just take it from there. There's also an enormous amount of expertise in open source communities about how to be able to collaborate on an international level. This conference is a fantastic example. I mean, we have, I believe, participants from just about every continent other than Antarctica. So that's brilliant. Please, let's leverage that experience and make sure that we all get along more, also with government agencies. Because believe it or not, those agencies also mean well. They really want their data to be used. It's a bit of a chicken-egg problem, you know. At the moment, the data itself is often not in a way and shape and form that is that usable, which also makes it hard for organizations to see what would be happening with their data. So, and yeah, we should definitely also align with the EU initiatives doing that. I really want to be at the table. I don't want to be on the menu. So, also collaborating with the ODI for their tooling and solutions. Another element of open data usage, there are so many open source data analysis tools available, but they're mainly used in the scientific research domain. Can we not just look at how we can utilize them on already published open data sets? How can we make it easier for organizations to, I don't know, run Jupyter Notebook and come up with analysis on open data sets that have already been published without having to jump through hoops of converting it and yada, yada, yada. So let's see how we can connect that. And also, yeah, help out ourselves in these types of contexts, like this type of conference, and just talk about what we do with open data. Because as I mentioned, we have open source, which is, you know, awesome. We have tools, yay. Open standards, we have specifications on how we can publish stuff, yay. And then we have also open data, which actually is a practical representation of both open source and open standards. Let's do more with that. So, summing it up, that's what Open Data Connected is basically all about. We want to have a conversation, we want to keep this momentum going. And as part of the Doors Vlug conference in Zagreb, we have now also an official Open Data Connected track. And as I mentioned, Open Data Connected was started by us from Open Ovations, but it will now become an official HR Open initiative. So we're kind of handing over governance of Open Data Connected to an actual open source body. Because we as a commercial entity, you know, may actually be a barrier for others to work with us. We don't want to stand in the way of this. We will be actively involved, but it will be an HR open thing. Don't look so surprised, February. But yeah, and I want to invite you to just also reach out to me and let's see what we can come up with together. So I'm on time. And are there any questions or ideas or brainwaves? Or yeah, there's one over there. Yeah, there is one.
Hello, thanks for your talk. Really important, I agree here. Do you know the Open Knowledge Foundation?
I know of them, I don't know what they do.
Yeah, so they are basically, I think they are like in the same spot and you should go as you, as about caring about open data, mm-hmm. asking governments for data, processing them, presenting them in a nice way, enabling citizens to do this. So perhaps you should like go talk to them because collaboration on that topic is very good, I think.
I love that. This is exactly what we want. Because the thing is, there are so many organizations already doing stuff. We don't want to be invent the wheel. We want to connect the dots.
You mentioned that you were not able, or that you're not able to publish some of your data due to licensing restrictions.
Yeah.
However, that is supposed to be open data by default. So first of all, why? And second, is it possible to pressure these institutions? Like, if your data is not really open under a safe license, we won't use it, period.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're doing. And I think that the whole concept of organizations publishing quote-unquote open data under non-open licenses is just completely brain dead. But I also don't believe that it's ill intent. I think that it's just somebody who once decided that something should be published under a certain license, which may or may not be at the time have been the only one available. And then decades later, people are actually thinking about it and wondering, why can I not use this open data? But a lot of these licenses are about, yes, I may use the open data as an organization myself, but I may not republish it. But that's a problem, especially if the way and shape of how the data is published now really is suboptimal. But yeah, thank you for your question. That's a really relevant issue. Anyone else? All right, then come talk to me. I'm usually somewhere in the garden. And thank you for actually showing up. Awesome.